This is the Ripple Effect with your girl K-Dot, where we're discussing NBA and NFL and everything in between.
Hey, what's going on? It's your girl K-Dot back in the Ripple Effect. You already know what it is. You already know the vibes. What's going on? Playoff basketball. Ready. We going. MVP. Race is still going. Not really, though. Who y'all picking? I know a lot of people out there. Well, Embiid is already like, oh, you must not like me if you don't pick me. No, he said something. He was like, nah, you must hate me if you do not pick me. I just feel like either he's just in his own zone and just has that confidence because he knows what he brought this season. And I can appreciate that to an extent. But on the other hand, it's like, dude, do you have NBA League Pass? Do you have a smartphone? Do you not see what your colleagues are doing? I know you're seeing what Nikola Jokic is doing over there. You gave him props not too long ago. And he does it on a consistent basis. Not to mention his playmaking ability. He makes others better. Joel, we already know you're nice. We know that. But Nikola is different in the sense that he has other elements to his game. If his shooting is off, it don't matter because he's going to pass it. He's going to pass it early, get his guys in rhythm. He can see the floor. I mean, that's a skill that it's usually only viewed, you know, through the lens of a guard, point guard in particular. But these big men out here, they forced us to pay attention and to let, you know, just because they're big men don't mean they can't pass, don't mean they don't have the IQ to see the floor the way a guard would, you know. And it's not even that. It's just mainly because, you know, you're usually down the block. You're in the paint. So to be able to see the floor the way he does in such a crowded, clustered, you know, sometimes, you know, really physical spot, you know. So the fact that he's able to still see the floor like that, remarkable. Devin Booker, we see what he's been doing. Suns, they're at, 63 wins and counting. Come on. We're talking about consistency here. We're talking about showing up for those big games that a lot of people seem to kind of like, oh, it's regular season. Is there really any quote-unquote big games in the regular season? Yes, I think there are, especially if you haven't proven yourself on that level yet. Maybe if you're a KD or, you know, a Kyrie, you already have rings. You don't really have much to prove. I mean, Kyrie maybe. It depends on how you want to look at it, but his talent, I mean, I really don't know what else you really would want him to do, you know, besides, I guess, be a better teammate, if that's what you want to say. But other than that, it's like, to people who've already won at the highest level, they don't feel like they need to prove anything, and I'm kind of with them on that. They really don't, so it's kind of hard to say a regular season game is a big game when you've already been in those big games and shown up. But when you're James Harden or Embiid, you still have so much to prove, you know? Same thing even with Ben Simmons, and they're talking about him coming back on the Nets. He has a lot to prove. So when it comes to those big games, and like I said, all right, Ben Simmons, he's been injured, other things going on, hasn't played, so I can't really say anything about him. But when I talk about those big games, you know, like Devin Booker, we've already seen what he's been able to do. He's already put up 70 points in his career. But at the same time, he understands throughout the regular season, there still are big games because there's still question marks, right? He's been to the finals, yes, but he hasn't won a chip yet. Once he wins that chip, trust me, we're going to be looking at his regular season games a lot more different, just like LeBron James, right? We don't really look at his regular season games and kind of go crazy. Well, actually, I can't say that because some people still harp on him, you know, for their own reasons during the regular season, and we don't even need to get into that because that's just unfortunate. But what I'm trying to say is when I'm looking at this MVP race – Nikola Jokic, he fits under that same category, right? Hasn't proven himself at the highest level. Hasn't even made it out of the second round. So when you couple that and see that he is still consistent, no matter if he doesn't have Jamal Murray that we've already mentioned before in the past, but he's still getting it done. It's just remarkable how no matter who's in the lineup, he makes his teammates better. He's still getting his points up. He's still getting his rebounding in and the assist. So that's what I look at. I don't know. I do believe in a way it's kind of like we're just not used to seeing Nikola Jokic or somebody like Nikola Jokic. I have to believe that at some point, because to sit there and say we shouldn't put him back-to-back MVPs, like why? Like what would be your reasoning? You can't just say we shouldn't unless you're just like sold on Embiid because he had a great season. He did. And I'm not even, I believe it's just unfortunate that he's having such a great season while there's a lot of other guys also having a great season as well. You know, remember, there was so many guys in the mix. We had DeMar DeRozan. We had Ja before he, obviously, his injury. And then late in the season, we had this push, and then we're talking about Devin Booker. It's just, it's difficult. Guys have stepped up. And not to mention Steph Curry. In the beginning, we were talking about him and him breaking his record, you know, for pretty much greatest shooter of all time, you know, most three-point shots made. There's just a lot going on. So that's why it's kind of like Embiid, like, really? You're really going to sit there and say, we must hate you if we don't choose you? No, dude. It's just the NBA's just been that good this year. There's been other MVP candidates that we need to speak on and we need to sit here and evaluate. And it hasn't been easy, especially if you've been watching every game like I have for the most part. There wasn't too many games that I've missed, especially when you're talking about these players, because let's face it, like, we don't get to watch Denver a lot. If you're just watching TNT and ESPN when they come on Wednesdays, you know, Fridays or Tuesdays, Thursdays or whatever the case, you know, depending on if college was on, you already know what I'm talking about. It's difficult. I watch it all the time, whether it's on Monday, if it's on Tuesday, Thursday, whatever, Sunday. It doesn't matter. I still try to keep up with things that are going on. But I do feel like a lot of fans do have like this cognitive dissonance, meaning when they look at who should be MVP of the league and how they should look, right, and the style of play that they should have, I feel like I just wish that picture of Nikola Jokic as a kid, you know, with the shirt off, like, you know, when he was a kid, like, you know, I just wish that picture never came out, because I feel like people are judging him based off of that picture instead of judging him based off of his play and what he's able to do. I mean, he's in the West. It's not like you in a weak, you know, conference. Like, he's consistent night in, night out, doing everything that's asked of him. And like I said before, he was always known as number two. Jamal Murray was always the star. He was always the number one, right? He's like the leader. But I would make an argument since Jamal Murray's been out, it's been Nikola Jokic holding down the fort. He's been leading by example. I mean, I never really heard too many reports about him being such a vocal leader, more or less just leading by example, you know, kind of just putting on his team on his back and saying, hey, guys, like, I got this, you know. If you're open, you're going to get it. And just working on that three-point shot. Like, I don't know. But all I can say is just don't. If you're gonna say Embiid, that's cool. That's your opinion. And you wouldn't. It's, like, really hard to sit there and say, like, you're wrong. No, it's just a matter of opinion. And sometimes it does boil down to preference. Like, we have to take that into consideration, that a lot of people are not just considering all the facts. They're considering what they prefer. And I've definitely sat there and had to really understand that for myself, because when you see some arguments, when, not to get into this right now, because I do want to have a whole conversation about this, because, but it's just going to take a whole episode, and I don't want to take up this episode to do it, but it's just like with the GOAT conversation, and how I had that conversation about LeBron, and how it seems he's on track to literally be number one in like every category. And at that point, it's like, what else can you say, or what else can he do for us to have that GOAT conversation, you know? But like I said, I'm still very much waiting until he retires to really have that episode where we can really get in depth and have some guests on. I know y'all been really wanting some guests, and so have I. The coordination of that right now is, you know, difficult, but it doesn't mean it's not going to get done. It's a great challenge, and I'm going to get that done for y'all, because that's just what I do. I don't make excuses. Just letting you know. It's coming. It's coming soon. And that'll definitely be one of those episodes where I definitely want it to be like a big discussion. You know, not just me and one other person, maybe a few other people that, you know, basketball minds who just love the sport, respect the sport more importantly, and who are really able to give like their intelligent opinion, you know, based off of facts about which way that would go. And like I said, I've been around enough of those conversations, and I've watched enough of those conversations. I've read about those conversations enough to know people have a preference. And I feel like that's the same thing. That's what's going to boil down in this MVP race. I think it's a matter of preference. Because right now, there's not too many things that Nikola Jokic can't do. Especially when you're talking about showing up in big games, making teammates better, putting up points when you need to. I mean, it's not really too many weaknesses in his game on a consistent basis. Because some people would argue with that from Embiid, and his passing ability has been getting better, but it's just not consistent enough, no matter who's out there. But this season, I'm not going to sit there and go back and forth, you know, with somebody who chose Embiid, because it's difficult. It's difficult. Even Devin Booker, when I was like, nah, for me it's Devin Booker, just because of what the Suns, how they literally had this agenda from the bubble, you know, going 7-0. Didn't make it in, right? And they were like, it's okay. Did what they needed to do. Obviously, they acquired CP3, which was huge leadership, right? Huge. Even the numbers that he puts up, right, on a night-in, night-out basis, getting his guys involved. I believe the more intangible qualities, the fact that his leadership abilities, it's really what's amazing. It's sometimes the value of a player, it does not show up in the value in the stat sheets. And people just have to understand that. And again, that just goes back to the eye test. You just have to know. So you don't really need to be in the locker room to be able to see somebody's value if you're paying attention. But yeah, but so the fact that Devin Booker was able to still carry that, and the way he's just been playing, like just really forcing the issue, aggressive, not holding back, forcing people to put some respect on his name. Like you gotta respect that. Playing with such fire right now. It's gonna be fun. I just know the NBA playoffs are gonna be fun. It's gonna be exciting. It's not gonna be what people think. I really think people started off in the beginning of the season, obviously they thought Lakers and Nets, and I think that's just bad for basketball, just to kind of start the beginning of the season kind of already assuming who's going to be. We all make predictions, but I mean, it's not good for the game when you have these super teams, right? Pretty much teams of, we can't even call it like all-stars on one team. No, it's more like Hall of Famers at this point, you know, on teams going up against each other, you know, playing through a whole 82-game season, and then inevitably, it's like you already know who's going to be in the finals. Like, everybody was kind of getting tired of that, and I get it. So I feel like this is, like, the first time in a long time, even last year, You want to see new blood, right? You want to see competitiveness on every level, even the first round. I remember a few years back, you don't even want to watch the first round. It was just like, come on. Like, whatever happened to back in the day, well, I'm not going to say back in the day, it wasn't that long ago, but it was like maybe 10 years ago where you would have these upsets, like the number two seed upset in the seven, or the eight upset in the one. I want to see that. You know, especially, I know we just coming out of March Madness and a whole bunch of number ones getting kicked out. And I'm not saying I want to see, like, teams that are supposed to make it go down. But, no, I just want to see competitive basketball. I don't want to be able to predict, you know, what team is going to win. I believe it or not, like, when it comes to certain things in sports, you actually want to be wrong. You want to be wrong. Especially when it's a super team going up against another super team, you know, and then you have to literally watch all of that throughout the whole playoffs. It almost makes every other game irrelevant. So the fact that we have other teams that are kind of stepping up, and maybe they're not ready to be contenders just yet, but they're on the cusp of something. They're moving in the right direction. That's all you want to see, is organizations moving in the right direction. Look at the Timberwolves, right? There's no mistake. A-Rod's obviously done a good job with that organization and getting them together and getting them focused, refocused, right? I mean, clinching a playoff spot, usually they're fighting. That's usually, like, how it goes. And like I said, there's a lot of teams that are out there that are kind of getting dismissed for different reasons. Even the Mavs. We have to pay attention to the Mavs. On the other side, the Hawks as well. Trae Young has something to prove. Because he realizes, okay, second round, you know, I don't want to be known as that second round exit. Like, he's way too good for that. His team has all the potential in the world to start moving up. The Celtics, they have a lot to prove. A historic organization in the Celtics. I believe they're tied with the Lakers at 17 championships apiece. That's huge. I know somebody has to be paying attention to that number. I know I am. What more else do the Celtics need to do in order to get it done, to play on that high level? Going through Milwaukee is going to be tough. There's a lot of question marks with Harden in the 76ers. Is he going to show up? He has to show up. You can't take games off. If it's not working out for you, your shots are not falling, you can't get to the free throw line. All those assists when he was putting up in Brooklyn, when he was putting up like 14 assists, you need to be doing that with the 76ers. You got Maxey. You have all these guys that you can kick it out to. Tobias Harris needs to get more into the mix. He can't just be, you know, hanging back. I don't know if they have a role for him. I don't know what Doc Rivers is doing. I don't know. But all I know is, there's so many different things going on right now. I feel like I'm jumping all over the place, but try to stay with me. If you're paying attention, you'll be able to stay with me, you know, what's going on, because there's just so much going on. But like the Lakers coach, we know that Frank Vogel just left. That's meaningful. Why? I know I was just talking about the 76ers. It's meaningful. Check it out. They're talking about Doc Rivers actually being the coach of the Lakers next season. That's huge. But is that conversation, are they still going to have that conversation? Let's say if the 76ers make it all the way to the Eastern Conference Finals, right? Or better yet, they win it all. I'm not saying it's going to happen. You already know what my predictions are. But let's say that happens. Is that still going to happen? You know what I mean? Like, or win or lose, maybe it's a reason for him to leave. Okay, I won over here. Now I could move over here. I'm already respected in Boston. I got them a chip. I went to 76ers. Okay, got them a chip. And I can keep it moving. Or is he just going to lose and kind of just say, well, it didn't work out with Harden and Embiid. And Embiid was playing great all season. But, you know, we just couldn't overcome what went on with the trade between Ben Simmons and James Harden. Or James Harden's just not the same player anymore. Right? Like, that's still something that we need to, like, pay attention to. And I say that the Jazz with Quinn Snyder, we have to pay attention to that too. The Jazz have been They've been stagnant. These last couple years, I told you Donovan Mitchell, that's my guy. Can't say nothing about him. That's my guy. But at the same time, like Rudy Gobert and Donovan Mitchell, they have not figured it out together. And I believe if this season is not it for them, then it's just not it. They need to move on, figure something else out. And maybe Quinn Snyder, maybe he might be that the guy that he might be the first one to leave. Because the Lakers organization were considering him as well. That's another possibility. So there's a lot of stuff going on. Because right now, the Lakers season is over. They still have a couple of games, yes, to play. But their season is virtually over because we're not going to be talking about them in the postseason. Why is that important? Because they're the ones that's going to be paying attention to these coaches. They're going to be paying attention to Doc Rivers, Quinn Snyder. People were talking about Jason Kidd, but I think Jason Kidd is good where he's at with the Mavs. I don't see him leaving. Gets along with the owner. Unless something else comes out that I don't know about, or if you know something I don't know, let me know. But it's just something to pay attention to, because right now there's a lot of teams that are kind of just in limbo at this point. It's just very stagnant. If you're not moving forward, they gotta take a step back, make some changes, and see what they can do going forward. And this is all gonna matter just in the coming month when the playoffs are really going. And then we can really sit here and see, okay. Or just look at the playoff matchups, just to kind of, because you know, it's all about matchups. Once we get to the playoffs, game starts to slow down a bit, and you got to beat a team four times. Jazz hasn't been able to get over that hump. You already know the 76ers story. So it's gonna be interesting. Just stay tuned to see what's going to happen with that. Also, stay tuned to see where Frank Vogel is going to go, since he's no longer going to be with the Lakers. Where is he going to fit best? Maybe it might be with the 76ers. Maybe it might be with the Utah Jazz. These are all different avenues that need to be explored. You never know what's going to happen, but it's going to be interesting. I'm going to sit tight. I can't wait. There's a few games on tonight, actually. But I think a lot of guys are kind of shutting it down as far as trying to do anything. I hear the Clippers. I think Kawhi is supposed to be coming back. Excuse me. Norman Powell is coming back with the Clippers. So, I don't know. There's a lot of sneakiness going on over there with the Clippers. And I've always liked Lou as a coach, man. I always felt like he was very underrated, and it was very unfortunate that people don't really give him the credit that he deserves. But I feel like look out for the Clippers, too, because that could be the sleeper team. You know, you got Kawhi and you got Paul George playing the way he's been playing as of late. I know there's been questions about his playoff play and, you know, all those different things. And that all remains to be seen. But we can't sleep on that. We got to always keep that in mind and see where that's headed. We also got to take a look at the Lakers organization in the sense of, is Rob Pelinka staying? What other changes do they plan on making? Are they going to bring back Magic Johnson? There's just so many questions. So many questions. Hopefully there'll be answers soon. But these are all things to just think about, especially while we're watching the games. And especially for you really, really nerdy people, like when it comes to some of these basketball games like I am, like you're not just going to watch the game. You're actually going to read about it and find out what's going on. All, you know, just all the inner workings, because it's all very important and they all happen for a reason. A lot of times you're just not paying attention. Like, even with the Lakers season, like after the All-Star break, I didn't even realize that their record was 4-17. Like, I know it's unfortunate that Frank Vogel had to take that hit, and some people were like, oh, Westbrook should have left and all these different things, but that's just all emotion. You know, everybody's just reacting off emotion and not really thinking, like, these players get, there's so much money invested in them. Besides, they mortgage, like, their whole future, you know, like, so many number one picks in the future. They can't just get rid of a guy like that. And not to mention, who's taking on that money? He's going to be, like, one of the highest paid athletes. We're talking about Russell Westbrook. you know, in basketball because of the way his contract is constructed. Like, we got to pay attention. Like, Frank Vogel had to go because somebody had to take the blame. And ultimately, it's going to be the coach because the way it looked, it's like these guys just was not disciplined. They weren't playing like they were trying to win. Way too many Hall of Famers on this team. I don't care about their age, even injuries. Okay, yeah, there was a lot of lineups, but there was so many games where they just should have won, or there was too many of those close games. So ultimately, the coach had to take the fall for it. But like I said, in my opinion, Rob Pelinka definitely should have been following, no matter whose decision ultimately it was to not grab certain guys and deciding to get other guys instead. That's the job of the GM. You gotta take that hit. This season went the way it did because of the players that they chose to have there. Like, you have to, and then whatever players you chose, coach couldn't get it done. 1-2, okay, out. Let's see how else we can do, because we're gonna have the same core. It's probably gonna be Anthony Davis, LeBron, and Westbrook, and we gotta figure out who can we put around them in order to be successful and get it right this time. So it can't be by the same coach. Whatever he was preaching, whatever he was, you know, trying to disseminate to his players, they wasn't listening. LeBron and all them, you know, even Melo, smart guys, you know, they highly competitive guys. You can't tell me that they really wanted to win every single one of these games. It just didn't look that way. And that's just the reality. So you have to make a change so that way they can get back to Lakers culture. Like, that's the biggest thing. I know a lot of people wanted me to mention that, but it just is what it is. I don't really think it's really anything else for us to really discuss when it comes to them. It's just about putting together a winning culture, and we can go on with the Knicks as well. It's a shame what's going on. Even when I saw tonight, it's supposed to be like, you know, it's Wednesday, ESPN, they have their whole lineup, and when I saw the Knicks, I'm just like, it's like, why? And then there's rumors about Randall not even wanting to be a Knick anymore and how he wanted to trade out, and then he was like trying to shut down the rumor, and there was just been so much with him going on in the news, and it was just more bad than good, you know, with him either, you know, cursing out fans or... What are you gonna like? What is going on, New York? Same thing. When you think the culture and everything is set, something else happens, and you're just like, well, first the losing happens, right? And then everything else comes with it. It's just a whole mess. Tom Thibodeau, from what I heard, Tibbs should be keeping his job. I think the owner and everybody else, GM, even players, I think he still has their ear as far as I've heard. You already know how these things could change quick, fast, in a hurry. But as far as I heard, he's still going to be there, and we're just going to have to figure out how we're going to make that right in New York. And more hard times, what can I tell you? I can't say whether it's looking up, down, left, or right, but it's looking. But, yeah, if you guys have any other teams that you think I've either missed or I'm not paying attention to, you know, let me know. But I'm definitely trying to make sure I try to spot out all the teams that are kind of quietly trying to do something. Like, I'm watching out. Like I told you, I spoke enough about Memphis. They're definitely looking good. Not to mention, I told you about the Timberwolves. Those are those teams that, like I said, they're not contenders just yet, but they're on the cusp of something special. Stay tuned. But that's my time, y'all. Remember, losses equals life lessons. Peace.
This is The Ripple Effect with your girl, K-Dot, where we're discussing NBA and NFL and everything in between.